Ladies, puberty, PMT, pregnancy, the menopause. Yes, your hormones have been taking you for a ride for years. Hot flushes on the bus, menopausal meltdowns in the office, whatever those hormones have made you do, Jenny Smith and Kate Bouse are here to lend a sympathetic ear. Why not write in and share your hormonal hell with the girls? Don't worry, they've heard it all before. It's time to put those hormones in the firing line. This is Dear Hormones. Welcome to your safe space, ladies. Coming up on today's show, hormonal brain fog at the supermarket, an introduction to one woman's menopausal alter ego, and a trip from hell to the local harvester.
Hello, and welcome back to Deal Hormones. Hi, Kate.
Hello, Jenny.
Kate, it's the season finale. Yes, finally. We've done 10 episodes. I know it's not very many, guys. I know a lot of other podcasts do a lot more than that, but we do 10, and that's that. But we'll be back with season 4 very soon, because we've still got other letters, haven't we, that we want to read out in season 4. But for this one, we've got such good letters in this one, Kate. I can't wait to start. Before we do, though, Kate.
Yes, Jenny.
Kate's menopause watch.
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
I feel we need to address something, don't you?
I know exactly what you're going to say.
I think you need to tell our lovely listeners what happened last week.
Oh, it was my son's birthday last week. And I got him a birthday card, and I spent ages choosing photographs, you know, as it was a moon pig birthday card. It was really gorgeous, some stunning photos. It took me about an hour to do it. You know, age in the middle, 14, received it, lovely. And then suddenly it occurred to me, he was already 14 and he was turning 15, and I just got the wrong age. So I don't know what that says about me and menopause. I don't know, mind on other things.
Yeah, brain fog.
Brain fog, quite possibly. I mean, to be honest, as I've said before, my son is quite dreamy, and he did say, he was lovely. He said, "Mum, you shouldn't have bothered doing anything to change it, because I almost certainly wouldn't have noticed anyway." So, but I did. I put a big 15 over the top of the 14. Ah. But yeah, got my son's age wrong.
I think that's definitely menopause, Kate. Don't you? I mean, it is.
I've never done anything like that before.
Yeah. But you know, you just said, oh, my son's really quite dreamy. Maybe you're quite dreamy too.
I don't think I would have. Yeah, well, now, quite possibly I am. But I don't think I was like that before.
No.
I mean, I've certainly never made a mistake with my children's ages. until now.
Well, you know how I love those stories when you send me things like that. I'm like, brilliant, let's do that one on the podcast. Actually, Kate, I've had one this week as well. I don't know really if it's menopause, probably more tired and slightly hungover. I went to a 50th birthday party last week. It was a drive away, so we decided to drive, leave the car, and then I was going to pick it up the next day. To get to the car, to walk, it's a good 50 minutes, like, to walk to it. And I thought, 50 minutes, get my steps in.
15 or 50?
No, 50, 5-0.
Oh, right, gosh.
It's a proper walk.
Well done.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, thanks. Got all the way there, Kate, and I'd left the keys on the kitchen table.
Oh, no.
I know. That far away as well. So I had to phone my husband, who ordered an Uber, who got in the Uber and then came and delivered the keys to me. So it was a bit of a waste of time. So, you know, it's not just you this week with the menopausal mishaps.
What a pain.
I know.
Oh, dear.
Anyway, this is quite an exciting episode. We've got menopause guru Naomi Potter. Dr. Naomi Potter is going to be answering a few questions for us at the end. We get quite a few questions, quite common questions asked to us quite regularly. And I said, I wonder if you could just put people straight on these questions, please. And she said yes.
She's written a book with Davina McCall, hasn't she?
Yeah, she's written a book with Davina McCall, which has won an award. And she also runs her own menopause clinic called Menopause Care. So I quite often refer people who come up to me and ask me questions. I'm like, I don't really know. I know I do a podcast, but I don't really know. But you need to speak to Naomi. So Menopause Care is her company, with lots of other menopause doctors that she has, a team of them that work specialising in women's health. So check her out. She's amazing. Anyway, letter number one. This is from a lady called Caroline Jones. And I met Caroline when back in lockdown, when I did my photography project. I did a charity project where I was photographing people standing at their front doors. And then people donated to charity and I went and took a photograph of them at the front doors. And I raised quite a lot of money for charity. And then Caroline, once that project had finished, Caroline got in touch with me because she too, quite a few years ago, had done her own charity project. And she basically phoned me up to say, look, I've seen all your photos. It looks fantastic and well done for raising the money. But then she said, but was it hard work? And I was like, it was such hard work. And she sort of, so we had a bit of a bonding moment over how, you know, what seems to be like a very nice, beautiful charity project on the surface is actually quite a lot. And she said that she was going to be doing a podcast and would I appear on the podcast talking about what it's like to run a charity project. So she's interviewed lots of people who've done lots of charity projects and I'm going to be on her podcast at the end of February. And she said that she would write a letter for us for our podcast.
You're on each other's podcast. Yeah. Fantastic.
So her podcast is called What Have I Done? So anyway, so thank you very much, Caroline. And here we go with our first letter. It's called I Didn't Mean To. Dear Jenny and Kate, I didn't mean to. I really didn't. I can explain. It was the dreaded weekly shop with two toddlers in tow, and I was recently pregnant with my third. My eldest daughter, age 4, was busy helping me load up the shopping trolley, and my younger daughter, 20 months at the time, was sitting patiently in the trolley seat. For me, this was what success looked like. Getting out of the house, everyone fully dressed, me wearing a bra and remembering my shopping list. But just as we turned into the dried pasta aisle, an irrational hormonal voice in my head began to scream, you've forgotten to pay the car park ticket. You're going to get a fine, possibly be sent to jail and spend the rest of your life there. Run! And without a second thought, run I did. With my 4-year-old clasped to my hip, flying up 2 flights of stairs and pegging it to the car. Phew. No fine. Nothing to see. All was well. No custodial sentence. But as I walked slowly back down the flight of stairs, catching my breath, it was only then that I realised something was missing. My youngest daughter, to be precise. If you have ever lost or misplaced a child, you will know exactly that feeling. I'm getting a dry mouth just typing this. Thank goodness then that as I flung myself through the entrance doors, there she was sitting patiently in the trolley under the customer collection sign. My 4-year-old asking in a loud voice, why did you do that, mummy? Whilst I tripped over myself with what I felt was a plausible explanation, the cashier looking less convinced. Is it me or is it hot in here? We shopped elsewhere for a few months. Love, Caroline. How great is that?
Oh, you forgot your daughter, Caroline. I think easily done.
Yes. Yeah, completely easily done. It is easily done in those circumstances, isn't it?
When you're in a complete panic, in a total fluster.
Yeah, but also 3 children under the age of 4. Well, 2 children under the age of 4 and 1 in your tummy. So she's got pregnancy hormones. She's struggling here, full stop. You know, just getting out of the house, like she says, is a mission. Have you ever had that feeling of that you've lost the children?
I'm trying to think. Yes, I have.
Yes?
It's coming back to me.
Tell me.
Yes, I have. Well, I'm going to just feel like I'm a terrible mum.
Brilliant. Let's go.
Yeah, it was my daughter. And it wasn't that long ago.
Wasn't that long ago, Kate? Oh, hang on. Kate's menopause watch alert. Let me sound the siren.
Just a few months ago. And we were cycling round, round like a lake. Well, she was cycling and I was walking behind. And she gone on a little bit sort of far ahead. And my husband is always quite careful. And he would be like, don't let her cycle too far ahead. And I'm always a bit like, oh, it's fine. You know, just stop worrying. You're just worrying too much. So I was probably a little bit of me was probably, you know, sort of showing off a little bit about how fine it was that she was slightly ahead. And then all of a sudden she'd gone. And I sort of got to the end of this path by this lake. And there were like about 3 or 4 paths.
Oh my God.
And I didn't know which direction she'd gone in. And it was terrifying. And I also felt very conscious that my mother-in-law was there, who is a real worrier about things as well. And I sort of followed this one path and I was running along and I was shouting through the woods. And then I was asking people, I was saying, have you seen a six-year-old young girl, pink bicycle? Have you seen her going this way? And everyone was saying, no, I haven't seen her. And it was probably about 10 minutes until we found her, but that seemed like a very long time.
10 minutes is absolutely ages, Kate.
I know. And she had gone the direction that all of the people were, that all the people who had said they hadn't seen her. But I guess the thing is, you're not really looking out for it, are you?
No.
So when you were then asked, have you seen, they hadn't, but it didn't mean she hadn't gone that way. Anyway,
Kate,
there you go. Terrible.
What? Oh, that, and the feeling though is
so I can
horrendous.
Relate, Caroline. I can relate. I felt terrible. I mean, your 20-month-old, I'm hoping, couldn't walk and she was sitting in the trolley, but yeah, there would be that worry that obviously...
Oh, I know.
Oh, dear, I can relate completely.
I used to have that fear on a daily basis that my son had gone missing, because like, I was constantly... I only have one child for starters, which I don't know if that helps or not with this situation, but wherever I was constantly, where is he? Where is he? What's he doing now? Where's he gone? Where's he gone? And I remember he used to do kung fu when he was little, and we used to go to this church hall. And all of a sudden, I just couldn't see him for literally 4 or 5 seconds. That's all it was. And immediately, Kate, I immediately thought, someone's come in, someone snatched him, I'm never going to see him again, I better phone the police, this is a nightmare. That's immediately where the brain went. Mm. Not just like, oh, I just need to just go and look for him, I bet he's... And he was in the corner, was hiding actually with a friend, under the table. You know, it was just an obvious solution. But as a mum, you immediately go to the worst case scenario, don't you?
Oh, well... You were a good mum who immediately went to the worst case scenario, whereas I think I actually had created a proper scenario for myself and it was my own fault. So, yeah.
Oh, Kate.
I'll be more careful from now on.
Thank you so much, Caroline. Don't forget to listen to her podcast, and it's called What Have I Done? It's very good.
So I've got letter number 2 here. This letter is entitled Doreen, and it's written by Katie, who's in London. Dear Jenny and Kate, I like to think of myself as a nice person. I'm pretty thoughtful and kind, and not to blow my own trumpet, but friends and acquaintances will actually refer to me as so sweet, just the loveliest person, that kind of thing. What they don't realise is that I have a secret. That secret is my alter ego, who comes out from hiding whenever I'm feeling hormonal.
Oh.
This alter ego is such a force that I've given her a name, Doreen.
Oh, love this. What a good idea, giving her a name.
She has a name. It's hard to explain, but at times, Doreen literally takes over. She is a voice inside my head who battles with the real me. I'll be walking along the street feeling fairly calm and normal, and then a small thing will happen that sets Doreen off. The other day, a wonderfully well turned out and no doubt very lovely lady walked towards me. She was wearing a strikingly beautiful coat and had perfect makeup. How gorgeous. Good for her, the nice Katie of old would have thought. Not so Doreen. Fuck you. Doreen growled inside my head. Mrs. Perfect. Well, aren't you the lucky one to have time on your hands to sit in front of the mirror and make yourself look beautiful? Some of us are sinking under an impossible workload and all the millions of chores we have to do. Some of us don't have the time, let alone the money, to go shopping for a coat like that. You can just fuck right off.
I absolutely love this story. She's so right. I think we all have that internal monologue in our heads, especially if you're hormonal, don't you?
We've all got a little Doreen inside
our
heads.
I think we have.
My daughter has a friend who lives a little out of the way. Somehow, her parents never end up collecting her from our house, and that job always falls to yours truly. Doreen can't help herself in these instances. Bloody freeloaders! She'll be hollering inside my head. Whilst on the outside, I'm all sweetness and light, gushing her, you're so welcome, as I drop her off yet again.
Oh, I love Doreen.
For several years now, there have been these two utterly conflicting sides to me. It's rather as though those two grumpy men from The Muppet Show who sit up high in the theatre are sitting up high in my head. Kermit makes sure the show goes on, and so does Katie. But there's a constant grumpy dialogue going on. At the right moments, it can actually be somewhat entertaining. One day, I think I'll be a grumpy old lady in an old people's home, hopefully with a friend beside me who can prod me with her walking stick if my grumpiness becomes too unbearable. I keep Doreen pretty hidden from the outside world, but increasingly, I find she's threatening to come out from hiding. My friends and family could soon be in for a big surprise. Doreen, fully unleashed, will be a sight to behold.
Oh, Katie, Katie, I feel like I want to move in just so that I can witness Doreen being fully unleashed, don't you? I love the sound of Doreen. I think we all have Doreen in our heads, surely. All hormonal women have a Doreen living in their heads. I love that she's given her a character, because that actually helps me out quite a lot when I think back to all the things that I've shared on this podcast that I've said. I love the idea of giving that person a completely different name, because it is a completely different person that takes over, isn't it?
Yeah.
And what a great way of being able to rationalise it. It's not me. I wasn't the one to say that to my son or to do that to my husband. You know, it was Doreen.
It was Doreen.
Katie, thank you so much for writing that.
I love it. I love the story about the lady on the street who had done absolutely nothing wrong other than just look nice. She's like, fuck it.
Yeah,
that's the expletives that are coming out.
And I love that, just like sweetness and light, you know, like if you did see someone, you know, like, oh, hi, don't you look amazing? And Doreen's just like right there going, no, she doesn't. Well, I'd look that good if I had all that time on my hands.
But you'd have to be careful, wouldn't you? If you really do have a voice going off all the time inside your head, you've got to be careful to get the right voice out of your mouth. It could quite easily spill over into, yeah.
Well, and it does. Doesn't it? I mean, in hormonal times, it does. That's exactly what is happening. Like when you actually get, yeah, when Doreen's fully unleashed, she's not going to be in her head anymore, is she?
Yeah.
That's why I really want to witness it. Maybe, Katie, why don't you just set up, you know, one of those cams that you can have on your head? What's it, like a GoPro? Could you just have that from now on? Just like record your everyday life. In fact, just do it. That's a great Instagram channel, isn't it? Just have Katie.
Katie and Doreen.
Katie versus Doreen. It's like Jekyll and Hyde, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, Katie v Doreen. And you just watch Katie all the time. And then sometimes you see her come out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder whether her Doreen actually does come out. I think the Doreen is all inside her head. I think she's still at the stage where she's able to separate the two, and Doreen is still in her head.
Yes. Yeah. She's not come out yet. Yeah. She's yet to witness. I can't wait for Katie writing when Doreen presents herself to the world. Could you please get back in touch? Thanks, Katie. Right. Listen, warning for the next letter. Letter 3 is called The Harvester. And if you are at all squeamish, if you're eating, I would recommend that you pause the podcast and come back afterwards, or maybe quite a bit afterwards, actually, so you don't feel sick later. Oh, here we go.
Okay.
This is from Maggie in Milton Keynes. Dear Jenny and Kate, I'm taking you back to the early 90s now and a time in my life when I was on a perpetual diet. I'd been eating less than 800 calories a day for about 6 weeks without stopping. Absolutely diet obsessed. The reason I'm telling you it was the early 90s is to basically excuse my outfit, because the outfit is pretty key to this story. I was wearing a black body, one that didn't have any poppers in the gusset. You know, body.
Bodies. Yeah. Oh, we all have bodies.
Do you know they're back in the shops now, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
This is crucial information about the fact he didn't have poppers. That's crucial information.
Ooh, okay.
I also had on a flary animal print skirt with an elasticated waistband, which I'm not even sure was acceptable in the 90s. And I was also sporting a short mustard jacket, one that didn't do up. Again, vital information.
I can picture it.
The other piece of information you need, especially being a podcast about hormones, is that I had my period. And when I had my period in those days, I used to get a very, very sensitive tummy and bowels.
Okay. I can sense where this is going. I mean, I've got a cup of tea next to me. I might even put that to one side.
Maybe finish it quickly. Anyway, my dad was coming to visit and we decided to go to the local Harvester for dinner. My boyfriend was with me and my dad had brought his girlfriend, the most beautiful, glamorous woman you ever did see. You know who'd hate that woman?
I know exactly. Doreen.
Doreen. As I said, I hadn't eaten for ages, so this was a real treat, and I used it as an excuse to break the diet big time. I couldn't wait to tuck in. First things first was the salad cart. I knew I had to be careful because I hadn't eaten anything of any substance for such a long time.
A salad cart? You know, I remember them. Do they still have salad carts? I remember going to salad carts in Pizza Hut.
Yeah, I remember Pizza Hut.
And I loved the salad cart. Had red kidney beans and sweet corn and things like that on there.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Yeah. And then somebody at some point told me about all the germs that gets spread in those things, and it put me right off.
Okay.
Anyway, so she says, I made sure to eat all the good things from the salad bar with just a modest sprinkling of bacon bits. Mm. Yeah, do you remember that?
Remember them too.
But for my starter and main, I'd gone absolutely mental and ordered the deep fried spicy prawns and mushrooms, followed by the surf and turf. Full on blowout food. A few mouthfuls, so I'm laughing because I know what this letter's, I've read it, I know, okay. A few mouthfuls into the starter and I'm eating like I'd been imprisoned, absolutely cramming it in, when all of a sudden I start to get really hot and shaky. I felt like I was definitely going to be sick, so I excused myself and headed off to the toilet. I went into it, I'm trying not to laugh. I went into a cubicle, but felt so bad that instead of being sick straight away, I just collapsed onto the toilet and sat there while I got my head straight. But the motion of me actually sitting down, coupled with the fact that I had major period belly, brought on a spontaneous bowel movement right into my black bodysuit. The one without any poppers, remember?
Oh, no! Oh, Maggie!
Oh, my God! Oh, I'm not going to lie.
Sorry,
have you read it?
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. It smelt pretty bad in there. I was almost passing out. To add insult to injury, the body was so tight... It had squidged all the poo right up my back, past the elasticated waistband of my skirt.
Oh no,
Maggie! I needed to go back to the restaurant, but I couldn't leave the cubicle in the state I was in. It was a code red situation.
That's for sure.
I couldn't take the body off. It had no poppers, so it would have been nigh on impossible procedure under the circumstances. But also, my mustard yellow jacket didn't do up. If I'd taken the body off, I'd be walking out there practically naked.
What's she going to do? I'm just going to pause there for a minute. What's she going to do? I mean, I know you know.
Oh, Kate.
She's got to take it off and rinse it out. She's got to wash it out.
And that's when things hit an all-time low.
No, you can't go lower. You're already at an all-time low, surely.
Without being too descriptive... All I'll say is that my own bare hands were heavily involved in the clean-up procedure.
Was there no loo roll in there, Maggie? Oh, you poor love. Sorry for you.
It was probably just too much of a situation. She just had to get her hands in there. I mean, it's gone right. She's gone right up right past the waistband, hasn't it? I mean, she's in a desperate situation here.
It certainly is.
Meanwhile, I'd been away from the table for so long... that my dad's goddess of a girlfriend came into the toilet shouting, Maggie, Maggie, are you all right? And I'm just sitting there looking at my hands, aware of the overpowering stench and thinking, Jesus Christ. Oh. Sorry, Kate.
Oh, my God.
I mean, absolute panic.
Awful.
Right? I mumble that I'm okay, although she must have smelt otherwise. And I eventually made it back to the table where I just sat really quietly festering in the remnants of my own excrement.
Oh no.
My dad asked if I was okay, but we don't have the kind of relationship where anything like that would have been discussed.
Well, I mean...
what I should have said was... Hang on. What I should have said was, Dad, I've just shat myself and I need to go home. But I didn't. And then no sooner had I sat down than the bloody surf and turf arrived. I just couldn't deal.
Oh.
Later on, when I told my boyfriend about it, I asked him if he thought anyone had noticed. And he said to me that he had noticed a faint smell of a baby's nappy. When I got home, I raced off to the toilet to take my clothes off and get changed. But the final indignity was yet to happen. The body was fairly tight-fitting. And as I attempted to take it off, the remaining poo flicked all over the bathroom walls. You know when you see those people do Tough Mudder runs? It was like that. A scene from Tough Mudder at around 15 kilometres in. Sorry, Kate, this cracks me
up. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my God.
I guess the moral of the story is don't go on a low-calorie diet. And if you do, don't break that diet by stuffing your face full of saturated fat, especially if you're on your period. From Maggie, brackets, not my real name. Maggie, where do we start?
Wow, where do we start? Yeah, I'm really glad I'm not eating at the moment.
Yeah.
First thing to say.
It was a good morning, wasn't it?
Wow.
Do you remember, like, way back in season one or two, where there was another story that was where the woman had said that she had a period and her bowels were quite loose during her period, and she'd gone into a toilet and she'd missed the toilet and the poo landed on the floor? I think there's a similar thing going on, isn't there? Like, this, like, I always had a bit of a funny tummy during my period. So I think she had that combined with the fact she'd been on this diet. You know, what a nightmare, because like she couldn't have taken that off because she wouldn't have been able to go out, like you said, about rinsing it out. But she wouldn't have been able to do that, Kate, because she had nothing to cover herself up with at the sink, you know, and then other people are coming in. So she wouldn't be able to do it.
It's horrible.
Maggie, thanks so much for sharing.
Thanks so much indeed. I think it's, you know, my husband was saying to me the other day that so many of the stories that we get on our podcast should be on Graham Norton's Red Chair. After you were on Graham Norton's Red Chair.
They are Red Chair stories, aren't they?
Would he tip her though for this?
I think
I don't know whether he could be, whether get the whole way through. She might be tipped.
Yeah, she might be tipped. Although my mum was not tipped, and she had a poo related story, didn't she? Although it wasn't quite this gross. I think he would have tipped her. At what point do you think she would have been tipped?
I think fairly early on.
When she sat down and it just landed in her body. She just sat down for a rest.
Oh, she was so sick.
She just sat down for a rest and without warning.
I mean, the detail in this story, it was obviously a long time ago, being back in the 90s, but this has haunted you, hasn't it, Maggie? Because you remember every single detail. I mean, as you would.
I wonder if she's ever gone back to a harvester after that. I remember two girls I used to work with, they always said, do you remember that shop called Clinton's Cards?
Yes.
Well, for some reason, one of them said whenever she walked in there, she immediately felt like she needed to go to the toilet. And so they used to call it a touch of the Clintons because I've got a touch of the Clintons.
A touch of the
harvesters. I think she had a touch of the harvesters. Yeah. Oh, right. Thank you, Maggie.
Thank you very much indeed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Everybody can go back to their dinner now.
Letter number four is entitled ADHD. Mm. It's from Cara in the Lake District. Dear Jenny and Kate, I am so excited about writing into you that I've already prepared myself for this letter by making myself a large mug of tea, consumed a rather chocolatey biscuit. I can't believe we're going into food. Consumed a rather chocolatey biscuit, surfed the internet for a bit, put it off for a few months, and then suddenly, here I am, at 4:30 a.m, unable to sleep and ready to start it. So here goes. Okay, so she's put it off for a few months.
Yeah, she's procrastinated.
Okay, she has procrastinated. I have lived for the past several decades under the belief that I knew myself really well. Enthusiastic about things I love, excitable about life in general, and pretty damn good at multitasking. I worked in several different secondary schools as a maths teacher for almost 20 years and appeared organised, met deadlines and managed hundreds of young people on a daily basis in my classroom. I earned myself the reputation of being a little bit eccentric, and I used to regularly burst out into song in the middle of a lesson. I love that. And did I tell you how much I love maths? For example, as a young child, I was desperately disappointed that Sunday school at church did not give me another opportunity to learn more about it. And I discovered quickly the concept of false advertising and didn't go back.
Imagine loving maths that much. Wow. She must be a good teacher.
Oh, she really must. Then one day, at the age of 43, I found myself in the middle of a year 9 maths lesson. And I suddenly realised that I had forgotten how to divide.
Oh my God, brain fog.
It was the first sign there was something wrong. As I look back on my perimenopause story, that was definitely the first symptom, without a doubt. I told myself I was stressed. I was sleep deprived with a toddler, and this was just a blip. But as the months and years went on and my perimenopause symptoms became more obvious, I began to really worry about myself. I began experiencing sky-high levels of anxiety that made me literally shake, and the earworms that have always been a feature of my life began to get so loud and constant that I couldn't hear myself think. It's very hard to focus on teaching advanced calculus when, for example, We Don't Talk About Bruno is playing on repeat in one's head. And I don't mean just the tune, but the full version with all the vocal layers. I also noticed that my time management wasn't going very well anymore, and after school I could barely sit still in my chair to plan lessons, and I would get distracted and get up to do things that didn't need doing. Something was going on, and I didn't quite understand what. I started experiencing panic attacks on the way into work each day that wouldn't quite leave, and I literally became exhausted to the point where I reached crisis point and had to take some time off work. I then sought help from my GP. My GP took one look at me, listened to my symptoms for all of 2 minutes, and diagnosed me with generalised anxiety and depression, and gave me a prescription for anti-anxiety meds, a referral for CBT, and that was pretty much that. I did mention that I thought it could all be perimenopause related, but a few months back another GP had told me that I wasn't old enough for all that at the age of 43.
Typical.
And all I needed was to just drink less coffee.
Oh my God.
Suffice to say that I didn't take the meds, and I went back a couple of weeks later and a different GP gave me a prescription of HRT, which helped ease the anxiety to the point where I could function again. This all happened 5 years ago, and it was a desperately confusing time. I understood that perimenopause was a good explanation for all the changes that were taking place in my body, but the diagnosis of anxiety and depression just didn't seem to fit, and I started searching for some answers as to what led me to reaching a point of crisis. I did what any self-respecting academic with a PhD would do and got myself on Facebook. A friend of mine had been posting some memes about ADHD and was raising awareness about her newly diagnosed condition. As a teacher, I have worked with many boys in my career with ADHD, but had rarely come across any girls with the diagnosis, and definitely would never have considered it as something that I could personally relate to. I mean, I always took pride in knowing myself so well. And yet, several months ago, at the grand age of 50, I was formally diagnosed with combined type ADHD. Yep, with both inattention and hyperactivity. Apparently, it was pretty obvious all along. I have since listened to many podcasts on the subject, and it seems that the menopause can exacerbate ADHD symptoms. It certainly did that for me. Girls are very good at masking the symptoms of ADHD. They put in coping strategies without even realising they're doing it. But the menopause can throw all of that out of the window, and symptoms become more and more pronounced. On that note, I shall finish this letter and wait with eager anticipation for the arrival of the Dear Hormones badge. Mm-hmm. It's great. You're excited about that. Cara.
Thank you so much, Cara. I love the letter. Mm. So many things in there that we've heard a lot of, isn't it? Not the ADHD thing, although I'm hearing more and more and more about that. I mean, we've been talking quite a lot about ADHD recently, haven't we, Kate?
I've been
discussing the possibility that maybe I have it, but because there's a lot in my family. And it's so common. It's so common. I think, thank goodness, we are talking about ADHD now. It's a bit like the menopause. I think it's one of those subjects that's going to be talked about more and more, and they're going to discover more and more things about it. And I think more and more people, especially women, are going to realise that's them. Not that it's going to be necessarily a bad thing for everybody, because not everybody needs to take medication with ADHD. But I think there's something in just knowing that you've got it, and it can explain some of the things that you've been like probably all your life. You know, yeah. It's just a nice thing to know, I think, how your brain works, because it's very different. An ADHD brain is very different to other brains. You know?
And it can be a very wonderful brain as well.
You know,
and it's, and very clearly from reading your letter, Cara, you have all sorts of very wonderful things about you. I mean, I would like to be in a math song. I'd like to... My brain really is all over the place. I would like to be in a math lesson where my teacher suddenly bursts into song. I think that's a fantastic thing. you're clearly full of life and
you do
an exciting, engaging person.
Yeah.
And Jenny, I know you've spoken about the possibility that you might have ADHD. I don't know anyone who's as exciting and as engaging as you.
Thanks, Kate.
It's true.
I think somebody has said, I did actually speak to somebody the other day whose job was to, used to be to sort of diagnose the early diagnosis for ADHD. And she was pretty much saying that she thought I had it. But what she was saying was, I'm able with mine to act on all the things that are going on in my head. You know, for example, starting this podcast, doing that charity project, being a photographer, I've been able to act on those things. But there's this flip side to ADHD where you literally cannot get started on projects. Well, I'm like that also, actually. And I think that it can be quite debilitating in those circumstances. Mm. But I also know the medication can be absolutely incredible, you know, for people with it. So do you know what? I'd like to research a little bit more into ADHD. And if anybody else out there has a story, and bear in mind what she's saying about the menopause, this is why I'm starting to think it myself. I wouldn't have said this at all.
This may be why perimenopause hit you particularly hard.
Yeah.
We don't know this, but it could be a reason.
Yeah. Mm. It does, a lot of things are slotting into place if now I know more about ADHD. So I really would love to find out more about this. And as I said, if anyone else has a letter or any knowledge, please write in, especially, you know, with connection to the menopause. Mm. I'm really, really interested in that. Mm. And speaking about that sort of stuff, we've obviously got our menopause guru, Dr. Naomi Potter, who has answered some questions for us. So I asked Naomi just to record herself answering these questions. And the questions that we asked her are just things that we hear quite a lot, Kate, don't we? And obviously we're not doctors, so we can't answer these questions, but they're just quite common questions. So I'll tell you what the questions were, but she'll answer them. So the first one was, we asked, can I take HRT even if I'm still getting my period? Another one was, I'm only 40 but have lots of symptoms, surely that's too young to be perimenopausal? Another one we had was, I'm on two pumps of gel but I'm still very angry and hormonal, should HRT doses be adjusted as we go along? That's something that's come up in our podcast quite a bit, hasn't it, Kate?
Mm.
And then my friend has switched from the gel to the patch and feels better for it. Is it worth experimenting with different methods of HRT? Do women absorb differently? And the last one was, I've had breast cancer and can't take HRT. Do you know of other effective remedies for women like me? So they're the questions we asked her. And here is Naomi Potter with some words of wisdom.
Hello, Jenny and Kate. Thank you for inviting me onto your podcast. It's a pleasure. So I will just crack on with answering your questions. And so the first question is, can I take HRT even if I'm still getting my period? I'm 53 and experiencing other symptoms. And the answer to that is very straightforward. It's absolutely yes. You do not have to be post-period to start HRT. In fact, it's often better to start when you're still having periods, because that can be the time of biggest kind of hormonal chaos. 40 is not too young to be perimenopausal. It's one of the common misconceptions about the menopause. And it's younger women that actually need identifying and treating most urgently. They often have the most extreme symptoms, and they also have the consequences of being without hormones for longer. So it's very important if you're younger that you are identified and that you get access to the right care. And then your next question, I'm on two pumps of gel, but I'm still very angry and hormonal. Should HRT doses be adjusted? It is very unusual for women in the perimenopause to not need their doses adjusting accordingly. The perimenopause is a time of turbulence, of hormonal turbulence, and it often is required that you will need additional dose tweaking and management. You should not be doing this yourself. You should be seeking the advice of somebody that knows what they are doing, and making sure that you are using appropriate doses of hormones. But it is very common that we make adjustments. Likewise, switching different products and different regimes, it can be very effective for some reason, and we don't really understand how or why. Some products work for some people and they don't for others. It may be to do with the application, it may be to do with skin type, but certainly if one product has not worked for you, it does not mean that HRT per se is not going to work for you, and it's definitely worth experimenting. But again, it needs to be under the care of somebody that knows what they're doing, in the form of a professional. So not your friend or your neighbour who's been there and done that. It needs to be under the care of a doctor. There, so question number six, I've had breast cancer, can't take HRT. There are many effective remedies for women who've had breast cancer and those who can't or don't want to take HRT. It depends on symptoms. So it's more of a specific symptom target rather than a blanket replacement of hormones. But there are a number of options available. There is a new drug coming out in the next couple of months that should be able to treat hot flushes without the use of hormones. That's quite exciting, potentially. And but there are lots of other products that can be used depending on symptoms. Women who've had breast cancer can often have worse symptoms because of the medications that they take. And again, it's really important that they are identified and treated appropriately.
Thank you so much for that, Naomi.
Yeah, thanks, Naomi, because I think those questions are actually the most common things that I hear about, especially the ones, you know, where people say, oh, surely I'm too young to be menopausal. Mm. You know, you're not too young to be menopausal. And like, that was interesting that she said that actually the younger women are the ones that need to get the treatment, actually.
Absolutely.
So that was really interesting. As I said, Naomi Potter, you can find her on Instagram, Dr. Naomi Potter, but you can also find her her clinic, which is Menopause Care. So look her up if you feel like you need to get some advice for yourselves with your own menopausal journey.
What a great way to end our season.
Yeah, season three, Kate. Can't believe it.
Thank you, everyone, for writing in. You will all be receiving a Dear Hormones badge. Cara is very excited. I'm sure all of you are excited. And we will be doing a season four, as Jenny says. So if you have a letter, please send it to us and you too could be earning a badge. And it's so good for us all to share. And as you can see as well, I mean, every single story that we get, I feel as though we can relate to in some way, can't we, Jenny? So
yeah, we say that a lot, don't we? We read a letter and we're like, yep, that's
happened to you. Oh, yeah, actually it has.
And we're going to keep a close eye on Kate's menopause watch because it's so ramping up now. I think we've got some good stuff. We'll have some good content, I think, for season four, Kate. So start writing things down because you'll forget as soon as it's happened. Thank you so much for listening. And we'll see you for season four very, very soon. Bye.
Bye-bye.
That was Dear Hormones with Jenny Smith and Kate Bouse. If you've got a story to share, email the girls at dearhormones@yahoo.com or they're @dearhormones on Instagram. Until next time...